Good morning. It's time for In the Green Outdoors with Carol Kelly and Gail Martin. Each week, the ladies will bring you planting and gardening ideas, tell you about native Ohio plants, prairies, and habitats. Great tips for everything in the green outdoors. This week with Gail Martin.
Good morning. This is Gail Martin coming to you with another segment of In the Green Outdoors. Once again, today I am going to talk about Ohio wild edible and medicinal plants, and we're going to continue the commentary on shrubs and trees that are useful for food and medicine, but also ornamental and beneficial to wildlife. Because there are so many trees and shrubs to consider growing and using as food or medicine, I expect it's going to take us a few more episodes just to cover them. Today's trees are oaks and red mulberry. Let's start with the oaks. Their fall colors range from bright to muted shades of yellow, red, and bronze, and many oaks will live 200 years or more. I think we all need to plant an oak tree today for our grandkids to enjoy. Some oak species take a bit longer to mature than others, but even small oaks will support a lot of insects. Pin oaks are a very fast-growing oak, in consideration of the other oaks, and they may increase in height 2 feet or more a year. Red oaks are just a bit slower, and white oak, a gorgeous tree, is well worth the wait at only about a foot or so a year. Oaks require sun to grow, so they are not a great tree to plant in the shade. But what happens underneath their canopies? Shade. They give you a lot of shade once they get grown, and that's a lot of shade that you will love and enjoy for many years to come. It just takes a few years to get it. Pin and swamp white oaks can tolerate moist soil, and swamp white oak even tolerates occasional standing water. Scarlet, chestnut, and white oaks tolerate thin, dry soil. Chinquapin and bur oaks are very tolerant of alkaline soils. Oak is a hard, durable wood, and it was used during colonial times for shipbuilding, fence posts, and oak barrels because of its water resistance. And now the swamp oak, which was also called the basket oak, because its wood was easy to split into thin strips and was often used to make baskets for carrying cotton in the South. Today, oak is used for railroad ties, flooring, firewood, and in furniture making because it readily absorbs stain and varnish. Now, all acorns are good to eat, although some are less sweet than others. Oaks in the red oak family can be a little more bitter tasting, while oaks in the white oak family will have sweeter nuts. And the bur oak is a white oak, however, but it has acorns that taste almost like chestnuts. The preparation for those acorns differs between whether it's a white oak or a red oak. Now, beyond providing fat and protein-rich acorns, the oak tree has medicinal properties too. The tannins in oak bark and leaves can help disinfect wounds and supposedly work to strengthen blood vessels. The tannins are also used as a gargle for bleeding gums, a wash for hemorrhoids, and a treatment for worms and parasites. Oaks support hundreds of butterfly and moth species. 534 to be exact. Now that is a lot of butterflies and moths. An oak tree will support more moths and butterflies than any native tree species, and definitely more than any of our non-native trees. The insect life they support helps feed songbirds, who need energy for migration and also for breeding. And of course, baby birds need food. And with oak trees, there's enough insects to support birds and to keep our beneficial insect population very healthy. Acorns aren't just relished occasionally by people. They're relished by many animal species. Deer, gray squirrels, red squirrels, chipmunks, wild turkeys, crows, flying squirrels, rabbits, opossums, blue jays, quails, raccoons, wood ducks. Wow, More than 100 species of vertebrates eat acorns. That's amazing. Everyone should get out there and plant an oak. And if you want to find some good oaks, come to Natives in Harmony. We have quite a few species. Now, red mulberry is my next tree. And the red mulberry tree is the only mulberry that's native in North America. And it's found throughout the eastern half of the United States. It's a shade-tolerant species, which often will grow in the understory of woodlands with maybe sycamore, elms, and box elders, cottonwoods, green ash, and black walnut. The second most common location for red mulberry is along fence rows or utility lines because the seeds pass through birds undamaged. So you got a bird in a mulberry tree, eats a mulberry, flies somewhere, perches, and there you go. He's starting another mulberry tree. Due to its small size, which is usually under 50 feet in height, and because it's not found in thick stands, most sawmills ignore mulberry trees. It is, however, an outstanding furniture wood, and because the wood of a mulberry is naturally decay resistant, it has been used in the past for boat building and for tight cooperage, which means barrels that can hold liquids, and for fences. Mulberry is a fairly heavy wood, approximately the same density as a red oak. The wood dries easily, it doesn't warp, and the grain is usually quite straight. Mulberry trees have been an important source of wood and food for different cultures throughout the world. The berries produced by mulberry trees are edible when ripe and are often used to make desserts, wine, tea, and even supplements. The wood of red mulberries can be used to smoke meat, and the Cherokee tribes wove a very fine fabric using the soft inner wood fibers. Red mulberry trees are typically planted for ornamental purposes these days because of the showy fruit and the fall colors. It has been known to produce a heavy crop of fruit by the time it's 10 years old, and the dropped fruit can be messy, so care should be taken in where you place the tree. I know for me, as a kid, we had an outhouse. We didn't have a bathroom in our house, and we had an outhouse, and that was not a good place to put an outhouse, which was right underneath of a mulberry tree. Boy, when we were outside playing, we had to use the outhouse instead of going in the house because the tree was in our backyard. And my brother and sister and I used to track mulberry juice everywhere because we played under that tree, we ate the berries, and we could just really get messy. When we finally got a bathroom in our house, we called the outhouse the Mushberry Club because that's what we called it when we were kids, a mushberry. And so it became a clubhouse. I don't know how many people out there can relate to being a kid and having an outhouse for a clubhouse, but it's true. Now, the red mulberry tree is a host plant for the mourning cloak butterfly and is sometimes considered to be a host for the red admiral, although red admiral butterflies generally host on nettles. The berries are eaten by over 40 species of birds, including gray catbirds, northern mockingbirds, thrushes, woodpeckers, waxwing tanagers, sparrows, orioles, and blue jays. And its fruit is eaten by many animals, which include foxes, opossums, squirrels, and raccoons. Before ending today's broadcast, I want to remind you that our native plants developed with their native pollinators. Their blooming time coordinates with the activity time of their pollinators. And their shape is developed for a specific pollinator, too, when you're talking about the flowers. Native plants provide food and shelter for pollinators, and many are important to more than just one part of the pollinator's life cycle. I'd like to invite you to join me again in 2 weeks when my broadcast will cover more edible and useful Ohio native tree and shrub species. This is Gail Martin, signing out for In the Green Outdoors.
There's your show for the week. In the Green Outdoors is a production of WZMO Radio. The show airs Saturdays and Mondays right after the second cup at about 9:30 a.m. If you have a question or comment for Carol or Gail, you can email it. Thank you for listening.